You're in today to talk about the big garden bird watch. So I suppose the best place to start is for you to tell me what that is, Vicky.
Well, the big garden bird watch is huge at the RSPB. It's the largest wildlife garden citizen science project. It's been running for 41 years and it always takes place in January. So this year it's from the 25th to 27th of January over the weekend. And it's just a fantastic way to spend an hour counting and recording the birds and the wildlife that you see. You don't need a garden to take part. You can do it in a city centre. You can do it from a park or an allotment. And do you know what? If it's raining all weekend, you can even wrap up in a blanket and do it from your window. It's free. It's great fun. It's fun to get the children involved. And it's very easy to sign up. Just go to rspb.org.uk/birdwatch, and you can either take part online or you can order your pack in the post as well, but be quick if you want to do that because you've got until the 19th to get your postal pack.
And why is it important?
It's a fantastic opportunity for us to keep on the pulse of how our British birds and garden wildlife is faring, and then over time we can spot trends of what species might need our help. And as well as the citizen science angle, it's fantastic for people to get involved and get connected to nature in quite an easy, fun way. It's fantastic to get children immersed, because I think that is a real threat, our children growing up and not appreciating the wildlife that's around us.
Yes.
So it's great fun for everyone to get involved and just tune out, just appreciate what's around you.
And you were saying just then that you don't necessarily need a garden to take part.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I don't know whether you had your radio on as you were driving and trying to find us, but I was saying where I work at the other end of Cambridge, down by the Botanic Gardens, and I work up on the fifth floor of a building. And I was looking at the statistics that you sent me, and we'll talk in a bit more detail about those in a little while. But I was looking down the list of birds spotted in Cambridge last year, and one of the varieties that's not so common is the jackdaw. And we have a pair of jackdaws at the office where I work, and they're always out there. There's a kind of balcony thing that goes around the edge of the office that we can... they don't let us out there, you know, health and safety and all that. But we can see these jackdaws. And I sort of felt proud of myself spotting those, because jackdaws apparently aren't too common. So what are the traits of the jackdaw? I think they're related to the magpie, aren't they?
Yeah, so the jackdaw actually was number 14 in Cambridgeshire last year.
Yes.
So not the most popular scene. But we actually find it in about a third of gardens in Cornwall, which is interesting. To be honest, it's probably a bit of cause and effect. It's probably the food that you put out for them.
Yes.
I always struggle to tell the difference at glance between crows and jackdaws. Yeah, I guess the characteristics really is probably what we're attracting them to the garden with. So if we're putting the right food out for them, you'll see more of them.
What kind of things do they like? Because they're up higher, up on the fifth floor. I mean, are they going to be, I see them up there, but are they more likely to be, I guess, flying down to ground level to scavenge and eat and find what they like to eat?
Most likely. I don't know too much about the feeding habits of jackdaws specifically.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not sure what you'd have up there to attract them.
But presumably, I would link that to the point that you made about not needing to necessarily have a garden. If somebody is working somewhere, so not even at home, where they're in Cambridge and there are birds there, they can bring their little survey sheet along with them and they can do it at work, presumably, as long as the boss doesn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. From our London office, actually, our RSPB London office, we often see peregrines just from looking out of our top floor window. So there's lots you can see from city centre windows. Just make sure to count the birds that you see land, not the ones flying over.
Right, so that's one of the rules, is it? The bird
yes.
has to actually land.
Yeah, and you count the maximum of any one species you see at any one time. And that means that if you see three blue tits, for example, and then you see three later on, you don't count the same birds twice.
So coming back, you gave out the details, I know, earlier, but if people are listening to this now and thinking, this sounds like a great idea, I want to get hold of the information, how do I get involved? How do they do that? How do you take part?
So you go to rspb.org.uk/birdwatch. There's loads of information on our website and loads of fun resources as well. And there you can take part online. We're encouraging people to take part online just because it saves on postage and printing costs, as you can imagine.
Yes.
But you can also order a postal pack as well. So make sure you order the postal pack before the 19th so we can get it sent out to you in the post. But in terms of registered online, you can do that anytime over the big weekend.
And presumably these very impressive statistics, you know, and the level of detail that you can drill down into. When you've got people submitting stuff online, it makes it that much easier. You can just pull those statistics straight out based on what people send in, I assume.
Yeah, we have fantastic scientists who, from the moment that the results are submitted, so make sure you submit your results before the second week in February. And it's basically a huge job then between April, when the results are announced, where our scientists are crunching all of those numbers. So it's a big, exciting operation that goes down into country data, county data. There's so much that goes on.
And you were saying earlier that Cambridge, we're not an outlier here. The picture and the trends in Cambridge are pretty much common to the rest of the country. So if you do a survey of Cambridge, you can pretty much guarantee that those results will be, you know, on a larger scale, will be the same as you would find nationally.
The Cambridge results are very similar to our overall national results. The only thing is that's quite interesting is in Cambridgeshire, the blue tit was at number 5, whereas for our national results, it was at number 3. Which is interesting because blue tits, you look out my window at home, you'll see blue tits almost every time.
I mentioned earlier that, Martin had been in contact with a question. Now, Martin lives in Bedfordshire. He lives not very far away from the lodge, actually. And he said, "Hi, Vicky, Happy New Year." And he said, when he was younger, that his grandfather used to work on a farm in Bedfordshire. And he said that every year they used to cull the rooks and the crows. And the reason that they used to do that, I mean, that will, you know, it sounds cool. He doesn't think it happens now. But the reason they used to cull them was because if they didn't, then the rook and crow population would grow and all of the smaller birds would disappear because the rooks and the crows would eat them or eat their chicks. And he just said, he just wondered, are there culls that happen now? And if there aren't, which he suspects is the case, is that why perhaps the population of smaller birds has expanded?
Well, all birds are...
reduced, I should say. Well, not expanded.
As you know, Ian, all birds are protected.
Yes.
In terms of the reduction of the number of birds, we've been seeing a big decline since 1966, and there's a whole host of reasons behind that. Lack of food, lack of habitat, habitat loss. Not necessarily, it's not all down to natural predators.
Right.
There's a whole host of factors in there, which obviously as an organisation, we're sort of working hard to mitigate. Across that whole nature recovery spectrum.
And in terms of the statistics, because as I was saying earlier, you've produced this list for Cambridge, which shows the house sparrow and the starling and the blackbird. They're our sort of most commonly spotted birds. I suppose that's not that surprising. And as you say, blue tits are in there near the top, maybe not as prevalent as they would be in other areas of the country. And you've got things like wood pigeons. And then down the bottom, the song thrush and the wren. They're the ones that are, if you spot one of those, you're really doing well, a song thrush or a wren or a coal tit. They're the birds, and the green finch that we don't see as many of. In terms of these statistics, what are they telling you as an organisation? Are there trends in here that we should be worrying about?
There's lots of interesting factors in play here. So, for example, the willow tit is one of our most endangered native birds. And a huge reason behind that is, again, down to habitat loss.
Yes.
Actually, for birds like that, they find in like old industrial parts of the country where there's lots of bridges with holes in. That replaces the kind of rotted wood they would normally breed in. So there's all sorts of factors involved in those declines. Down to food, location, habitat. And what's great about these trends is it helps us spot the birds that need our help so we can put action into place.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, all of this data, what happens to it? And there are things that you do in terms of if you see trends that are worrying, alarming in a particular area, you'll contact presumably local groups and councils and things like that and try and encourage them to do things to bring that population of whatever variety that is back up to level again?
Well, it really helps us keep on the pulse of what is going on over time. And then there's a whole host of initiatives that we do as an organisation in the general nature recovery sphere. You might have heard about our nature recovery campaign, our Let Nature Sing and our sound takeovers, which happened last year. And that's all about making sure that those top species that are in trouble are getting our help.
And presumably, if people want to know more about these campaigns that you run, if they look at your website, you've got details of the campaigns on there?
Yes, and we also, if you go to our website, if you want to know more about a particular species, there's a whole host of information on there as well. So you can really go into quite a lot of detail with all the fantastic things that we do as an organisation.
And just before we say goodbye, I mean, we could chat all morning about this. It's a fascinating subject, and I know people are really interested in birds and wildlife and things like that. But if people want to try and attract more birds to their garden, they want to take part in this survey, but they want to make sure that some birds come and visit, how might they go about doing that?
So the best thing to do is to start putting your feeders out as early as possible. And it's a great habit to get into throughout the whole of winter as well, where our garden birds need our help. So if you can put your feeders out this weekend, it's a lovely sunny day here
in
Cambridgeshire.
It's glorious, isn't it?
So yeah, get your feeders out, let the birds know it's there. And you don't necessarily have to use bird seed either. If you have things like apples or cheese, you can string that through floral wire. You can make suet bowls with the children, which is great fun. So just make sure that the birds know that there's food on your patch.
And when I was a kid, you know, feeding the birds was going out there. It's got a bit more sophisticated these days. It was going out there and chucking a load of bread in the garden. But do birds like bread or are nuts and seeds probably a better option?
Nuts and seeds are the much better option. So
right.
So all bread will do is fill their tummies but give them no nutritional value.
Right. OK, well, that's useful to know. So there you go. We've been doing nutrition and healthy living for people since the new year started, and now we're doing it for birds as well. Vicky, it's been fascinating talking to you. Just once more, remind us, if people do want to get involved in the big garden bird watch, how do they do it?
So you go to rspb.org.uk/birdwatch.